Today I want to talk to us about looking up to glory. I thought that sometimes we as Christians, we need sometimes to have some encouragement as to all the things that go on in the world today. And sometimes we look around and we wonder, is anything going to get any better? And I've come to the conclusion that no, not here. It's not going to get any better, but we can certainly live as if things are better. Because we know we have an eternal hope. And we know that eventually, that when all this is said and done, we as children of God, those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who have come and done as the Lord would have us to do, we have an eternal glory that we are hoping for and that we are going to receive. Because if God promises it, it will be done. Because God is faithful and he is trustworthy and we can rely on him. But now the thing is, can God rely on us? Can we remain trustworthy? Can we remain faithful to him so that we can one day receive the glory that God wants to give to us? Always think about that, is that God wants us to be saved. He doesn't want any of us to be lost. He wants to fulfill his promise to us. The only thing is, are we willing to come to receive the promises of God and what he has prepared for you and I? So as Christians, sometimes, even though we might go through some things in life, we want to continue to keep looking up to glory, knowing that we have a better promise and a better place to go. If you have your Bibles this morning, the text that I want us to read is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, and we will read down to verse number 4. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through verse number 4. The Bible reads, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden in with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Notice that Paul is trying to make it very clear from this text. He is trying to instruct us as to the frame of mind that we should have if we are striving to get to heaven. Because understand this. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And right now, as we live on this earth, we are to prepare ourselves to be able to live with him in heaven. And if we're going to do this, it is always going to be the word of God that's going to prepare us in order for us to make it there. That's why the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and verse number 3, he would say this: "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." He says, as his divine power, because God is divine and he has all the power. He says, as his divine power has given to us all things, not some things, but has given to us all things. Because God does not stop short of what we need. He does not stop short of giving us what we need and what we need to know. So Peter says he has given us all things that pertain to life. Now hear that now. That pertains to life and to what else? To godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory. You see, if we're going to prepare ourselves for heaven, If we're going to prepare ourselves to live on this earth, prepare ourselves to do the things that need to be done, it is going to be God's word that is there to instruct us to know what to do. Because God is complete in what he does. He has given us all that we know, the knowledge that we need, in order for us to be able to bear and deal with the situations of this world and prepare ourselves for eternal glory. That's why also the Apostle Paul was saying in 2 Timothy 3:16, he says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable. And look at that word, profitable. All of us know about making a profit. If you own a business or you're trying to make some extra money, we know about profit. But God says that his word is profitable. For what? For doctrine? For reproof? For correction? For instructions in righteousness? If you want to know what to do to please God, follow his word. Study his word. Understand what his word says. Don't try to do it on your own. Too many people all the time, they want to try to say, well, I think this is what God wants. I'm going to try this because maybe God will be pleased with this. You don't have to guess at this. You just follow God's word. You study God's word, understand God's word, follow it, and you can know that it's going to lead you to righteousness. Too many people are trying to be self-righteous. They come up with their own scriptures. They come up with their own facts. They come up with their own ways of they thinking what's good for God. God has already given us everything that we need to know. We just need to study it and apply it to our lives. Because look what else he says there in that same text. He says that it's for instructions in righteousness that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has already given us what we need. We just need to follow his plan and stop trying to follow our own. So, as Paul is trying to prepare our minds, look again what he says here in the text. And back at Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1, he says that if then you were raised with Christ. Now, I want you to notice something. This becomes like a self-examination. He's saying to the Christians here in Colossae, because the letter is written to those who have already obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's trying to pump their minds and trying to get them to understand what they have done. Because sometimes we got to be reminded who we are, the commitment that we made. And when we made that commitment, we committed to say, I'm going to follow you all the way. All to Jesus, I surrender. So sometimes we need to understand that we've made this commitment and how this commitment has affected us. So he gives us something. He said, if you were raised with Christ, he says, your mind frame should be this. Seek the things which are above. So now he gives us a self-examination. Are you seeking the things that are above? Were you raised with Christ? Because if you were, that's where your mind frame should be. Seeking out the good things, seeking out the best things. And those things are not here on earth, but they are above. What about this word raised? What were we raised to be? Chapter number 2, okay, of Colossians. In chapter number 2 of Colossians, I want you to look at something here. Beginning at verse number 12, the Bible says here that we were buried with him in baptism, okay? See, I tell you, he's talking to people who have already done this, people who have already obeyed the gospel, but sometimes need to understand their commitment and what they did and what effect it had on them when they did it. He says, if you buried with him in baptism, in which you also were, look at the word again, raised with him. So, in our baptism, when we had decided to obey the gospel, when we came to him by faith, when we repented of our sins, when we confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then we obeyed the command to be baptized, he said that when we went down in that water and we were raised up, he said that we were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now understand this. Our baptism is an act of faith in accordance to a command from God. The water that we go down in, there's nothing magical about it. But as it says here, we do it by faith in God. Because we believe that when we obey the command of God, God is working on us and removing our sins from us. But he can't do that until we obey his commands. I remember hearing sometimes some of the older preachers that I grew up around. They said some people would go down in the water and they come up and they say, oh, my feet feel different. Oh, my hands, they feel different. No, they still your same old feet. They still your same old hands. It's just that your feet don't take you places you're not supposed to go to anymore. And your hands don't be taking things that you shouldn't be taking anymore. Because you've got to change your mind now. Your heart has changed. Because you've been raised with Christ, and God has moved those sins away. Yeah, when we are baptized, he's working on us. That's why he talks about we are, in the first part, he said, in him we were circumcised with the circumcision made with our hands. You remember how circumcision was, right? And under the old covenant, yeah, they removed the flesh from the male's organ part there. They consider that removing the filth away, and that was the covenant between God and man made by, with Abraham, and when God told Abraham to circumcise the males. But now, the filth of sin is removed from us in our baptism, because that's the circumcision made without hands. Because God is working on us when we obey that command. So now we are raised with him in faith, in the faith of the working of God who raised him from the dead. And then look at verse number 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of the flesh, he has done what? Made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see, we have transitioned from a sinner to a saint. We make that transition through our obedience to God. So when we are raised up from that watery grave of baptism, our lives should be changed. Oh, no, it doesn't come magically. You got some things you still need to work out. But now you have the protection of God with you to guide you and to lead you if you will seek those things that are above. We need to continue to look up to glory, because it is glory that's going to help us to make it into that glory land. So when we make this transition, we ask ourselves the question, what are we transitioning to? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 tells us this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's the frame of mind that we need to have. That something fantastic has happened to us. God has wiped away all of our sins. And then therefore, now, we can consider ourselves brand new. We have been, as John chapter 3 says, we have been born again. Old things have been passed away, are passed away. We can start anew. If somebody tried to ask me about my past, I said, that's not me. I used to be a sinner, but now I'm a saint. We talked about this in class this morning. We said when you make that transition, you are now somebody in Christ. And people who want to talk about you, talk about how they know what my past is, you know what I tell them? I said, listen, Satan already know about my past. But let me tell you something. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But when I was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, listen, you can't talk about me no more. Because I'm somebody in Jesus now. I'm not going to look back for you or for nobody else. Because I'm moving forward. Because I'm looking up to glory. And I'm seeking the things that are above. And not the things that are on earth. So I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And this is the attitude that we all need to have when we are raised in Christ, to seek the things that are above. So what does he say is above? Well, let's look here. He says in verse number 1 again, if you are raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So what's above? Well, Christ is above. And God is above. And you know what else is there? Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1 and 3 and 4 that our inheritance is above. Our heavenly inheritance, our home, our heavenly home is above. That's why we should be seeking those things. Because those are the things that truly are going to be beneficial to us. Because I tell you what, that's a lot better than what we have down here. That is for sure. I want that eternal home. But before I can get there, I need to be obedient to God and continue to look to glory and seeking the things that are above. That's why Paul says here, he says we need to set our minds. Verse number 2, set our minds in order for us to be able to get there. This word, to set our mind, it deals with the fact that it needs to be our affection. In the King James Version, I believe it talks about to set our devotion, okay, or our endearment. It's something that we constantly look forward to and we set our minds on it as if it's the only thing in the world. Because this is the thing that we know that is profitable to us. So we set our mind in those things, because when you think about it, setting our minds on the things that are above, and Peter tells us those things are incorruptible. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4, he tells us that these things are incorruptible. They do not fade away. When we think about things of the earth, everything seems to fade away. You got a car, it's going to sooner or later rust out. Well, maybe not down here. See, I'm originally from the north, and up there, you know, they when it snows and all that, they put this salt on the ground. Worst thing you can have on a car is that type of salt. Because before long, everything begins to rust out, and the next thing you know, at the bottom of your car just falls apart. But even down here in the south, I found out that with the sun that we have, things begin to fade. Your paint jobs begin to fade and all that type of stuff. And eventually, if the body doesn't go, something's going to go with the engine. Because things don't last forever. They fade out. Your house, constantly repairing it, because things don't last forever. Material things, they just don't last forever. They'll fade away. Even our own bodies. As we continue to get older, I know we try to fight it as much as we can. But as we continue to get older, things just start to creak and break and fall apart. Because it's not meant to be here forever. But our inheritance in heaven, that which is above, will never fade away. That's why we need to be seeking the things that are above and not the things of the earth. And then in verse 3, he reminds us of this fact. He said, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So we died, he says, but yet we understand this fact that we were made alive, and now that we are alive, we are something that is new. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 1, Paul writes this. He says, and you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now that word trespass, it means that we made a false step or a blunder, and that we need to get back in line. But we were once dead in sin. But he has made us alive through our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and our obedience to following his commands. We are no longer dead in sin, but we have been made alive again. And that's why he says that we are hidden in Christ in God. Because once we are made alive, and this idea of being hidden in Christ deals with the idea that when people see us, they need to see Christ. When people see us, they need to see God. Because we're no longer living our lives the way that we used to. We are living our lives for Christ. We are living our lives so that we might be able to make it to that glory. And when people see us, they need to see God in our lives. Because we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. It is only because of the sacrifice of God that we are going to be able to do it. But we need to be aware, though, that just because that we got rid of that old man, that the old man won't try to come back. And this is why we need to continue to seek the things above. Because if we continue to not transform ourselves to what God would have us to be, we need to be careful, because that old self will try to come back again. Remember the story over in Matthew chapter 12? Turn over there real quick. Matthew chapter 12, right around verse number 43. And the Bible talks about here. He says at the beginning of verse number 3, he said, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be for this wicked generation." You know what Jesus is warning against? Against us with our idle time, not filling the house up with the things that we need to do to keep out those evil spirits, to keep Satan from coming back. Because sometimes when we come and we obey the gospel of Christ, we get baptized into Christ, and we think, okay, everything is okay. Now I'm fine. Nothing can hurt me now. But then the Bible teaches us that we have to continue to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and putting those things into us that will help to protect us from when Satan comes back after us. Because like Peter said, he is a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And don't think just because you got baptized, just because you obeyed the gospel, that he's going to leave you alone. As a matter of fact, some of you could attest to this, that it seems like things begin to get even worse. Because Satan wants you back. You know, Satan is a great accuser. You read the book of Job. What did Satan come and do? He came with the children of God, the sons of God. And he came before God to be the accuser of the saints of God. And this is why when God asked him about where you come from, he said, from to and fro, walking the earth. And God knew what he was doing, because immediately God said, have you considered my servant Job? And of course, what Satan wanted to do is say, well, you put a hedge around him, God. You said, take the hedge and I'll show you who he really is. And that's how Satan is with us. He will accuse us before God. He'll say, you know, God, remember Dennis, he had got baptized and he was preaching the word and he was doing all this stuff. Well, you know something? I caught him drinking the other night. And I ain't talking about soda. And he was a little drunk. And that's supposed to be your servant? You know you got to do something about this, God. Because he is the great accuser. But we make it easy for him sometimes. Because we stop seeking the things that are above. And we get caught up with conforming ourselves to the world. And we know what the Bible talks about that. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But we can only do this if we allow God's word to help us and trust in him and knowing that everything that he has given us is divinely coming from God and will lead us to the ways that we should be. But here, this man, he didn't put anything in, so it was easy for Satan to come back in. And it said that his second state was worse than the first. We need to strive to be able to do the things that we need to do in order to make it to heaven. And sometimes I know it's tough. I know that sometimes when we begin to make this transition and we have to put certain things away, sometimes it comes down to have to sometimes put family members away. It doesn't mean that we don't love them, but it's just that I can't be around you. I can't participate in the things that we used to do together because I've been changed. I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb now, and my life is different. And you know, and Peter knew this was going to be the case because Peter talked about this, about how your friends were talking. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 4, he says, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. You ever been around maybe sometimes old friends of yours and you run into them? They haven't seen you in a while. And the first thing they kind of remember is, like, boy, remember when we used to? And man, we had such a good time back then. Remember how we used to cut up and do all these type of things? And you know what happens to us sometimes? We get that, yeah, man, woo, woo, that was fun. We start reminiscing about those old times. Not that we're going to go back and do them, but we think that those were the fun times instead of the times we're having right now, being in Christ. And sometimes we need to be careful. Because then those old friends will start calling you up again and talking about, hey, you want to go do this? You want to go do that? And sometimes we need to be careful, because sometimes it could be very innocent, but it could be leading you down the wrong road once again. Oh, I miss being around him. I miss being around her. Because she was so much fun. He was so much fun. But yet their fun is not based on what God would have us to do. And then we get to a point where if we don't, then yeah, they talk about you. Who they think they are. I remember when they used to. I'm just glad that they can say they remember when I used to. But now I don't too. Not anymore. So you can talk about me all you want, but like I said, I know that I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb, and I'm somebody in Jesus. As long as I keep seeking those things that are above. Peter would also warn us not to be blinded to the fact that this is going to happen. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 and 13, he said, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which will try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But," he said, "rejoice to the extent that you are partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Christ suffered for us. We will suffer for him. But it all leads to one eventual eternal thing. That is our glory with him. So you just hang in there. The glory days are coming. Yeah, they are. They're coming. Look at what Paul says here at verse number 4 of our text in 3. He says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Yeah. Isn't that great? After all this is said and done, I can look back and I said, it was well worth it. All the pain and heartaches I went through, it was well worth it. Because now I can rejoice in knowing that I have an eternal home with God and with my Savior. But know this, that we have work that we have to do before we get there. Look at verse number 5. It says, "Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which yourselves once walked when you lived in them." He says, "But now you yourselves are put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." And he says, "And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." So yeah, we got work to do. Because all those things that he mentioned, some of us probably were so deep into it when we were in the world. But those are the things that we need to now put off. See, this is why the Word of God tells us exactly what we need to do. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable to us. But we have work to do in order to make that eternal glory. And we need to do what God says do. Keep seeking the things that are above. And understand that God gives us a chance to get it right. So don't be misled, because the Lord is coming again. And he's coming for his saints. And that day will be a glorious day. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to end on a couple of these little notes here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice what it says here, beginning of verse number 13. He says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow, as others who have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Then he says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." He says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And then it says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." And then he says, "Comfort yourself." Therefore, he says, "Comfort one another with these words." Isn't that wonderful comfort to know? That if we continue to do God's will, if we continue to seek those things that are above and not the things of the earth, that when he comes back, we will be with him forever. That's us, the saints of God. And I always say, I want to be where the saints are. And that starts right here, though, okay? Because if I don't want to be with the saints here, how do I expect to want to be with them in heaven? I want to be where the saints are going to be. And God said he's coming back for us, and that we will be with him eternally. Set your minds on things above and not of things of the earth. Seek, the Bible says, and you shall find. But before I close, I have to say this, because I need to warn those who have not obeyed the gospel, that as glorious as it's going to be for those who have come to Christ and who have remained faithful to him, because the Bible does tell us that we must remain faithful until death. Revelation chapter 2 and 10. But as glorious as it is for us, it's going to be that much heartening for those who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 8, starting at verse number 7, it says, "And give to you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Then it says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction and from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." You see, we say God is faithful, that he will keep his promise to the righteous. He's also faithful that he will keep his promise to the wicked too. And he says to the wicked that you will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ today, that is where you stand. Now, I didn't say it. The word says it. So you don't have to trust me. You don't have to say, does he know what he's talking about? I might not. But I know God knows what he's talking about. The word says it. So if you are not obedient to God today, by either not have coming to obey the gospel, that is, by not coming, by hearing the word, believing it, having faith, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because he is, whether you confess it or not, and coming and being immersed in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, then when God comes back, everlasting punishment to you. But not only to those who have not obeyed the gospel, but those who have not lived faithful to him as well. This is a warning sign to us too. Because we need to understand that God doesn't play games. Once saved, always saved is not a biblical doctrine, as some would make you try to believe. You can lose your salvation. You could fall short of grace. If you find yourself in that situation, that second law of pardon is for you to come back and repent of your sins, rededicate your life to God, follow him once again in devotion and love, set your mind on things above. Keep looking up to glory, because God will come again, and you want to be in that number. You know that old song that they used to sing, "When the Saints Go Marching In"? Some of y'all remember that, right? Yeah, I'm not that old, am I? "The Saints Go Marching In." And remember what the line says? It says, "I want to be in that number when the Saints Go Marching In." I want to be in that number when those Saints go marching in. How about you? We're going to give you this opportunity to come. Rob is going to come and lead us in a song 284. And if you need to come and respond, please do so as we stand and as we sing.